Hello and welcome to the Aldi podcast with me, Harry Mount, editor of the Aldi. And this month we're in Gibraltar and we're talking to the great Nicholas Parsons. Nicholas, you could tell me, what are you doing in Gibraltar?
I'm doing two shows here.
Yeah.
We're reprising Just a Minute with a very interesting team, and which I've done now for 3 or 4 years. It goes very well, it's packed out. It's amazing how that show, after 51 years, has really caught the public's imagination, and they really enjoy it. It's lovely. And I've done my one-man comedy show here, so they got me to do my one-man cultural show, as I call it, about the life and work of the great nonsense poet, Edward Lear.
Uh-huh.
So I did that earlier in the week, and at a smaller venue, because it's a very intimate show. And shortly after this interview, we're going to get in a taxi, and we're going down to one of the venues here. They'll take us there, and we've got it all set up. I've got to check that the bells and buzzers they've got in are all working properly.
Yes.
Because I've had to organise the whole thing, not only get the technical equipment and permission from the BBC and all that other stuff, engage the players, and then I pass it on to the powers that be here, and they organise their flights and everything. So it's quite a lot of work.
And you've got some fantastic guests. You've got Sheila Hancock,
yes.
Jan Ravens, Felix Francis and Robert Dawes, and I must say I've talked to one or two of them who haven't done it before and they're absolutely terrified. Do you think they're right to be terrified?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a fiendishly difficult game to play. I mean, people talk naturally and pause and emphasise and repeat for effect and so forth. It's a natural way of speech. It's very interesting, actually, I've said it before, but the essence of comedy is to pause for effect and you repeat for emphasis. And you deviate for surprise. That is the essence of trying to get a laugh. That is the three things you cannot do in Just a Minute, and yet it's a comedy show. So it's a strange and delightful anomaly.
And in the past, have you seen some new people, you don't have to name them, who are clearly terrified?
Well, I think it's a bit, say it's terrifying, is the wrong word. It's very inhibiting. It's such a fiendishly difficult game to play. And if you come on for the first time, however talented you are, and however skilled you might be, and you're playing with three other people who've done it before, naturally you're a bit overwhelmed by the situation. And we don't have any rehearsal, we don't have any practice run. We're just thrown straight into the deep end and do it. So it is a daunting prospect if you're coming on for the first time. And it is such an unnatural way of speech, and such a wonderful idea that, you know, you often, you like to get new people in, but it doesn't mean to say because they're well known and they're fluent with language, they will definitely be great at Just a Minute. It's a special knack and technique. I mean, you take someone like Paul Merton, who's absolutely brilliant at the game. I mean, Paul has found his way of playing it, like Charles Brandreth. And Jenny Eclair and all them, and the Graham Norton who comes on. It's so flattering, this show, which has been going now for 51 years. Can you believe it? And I've been at the helm for those 51
that's
years.
That's wonderful. It makes
me feel, God, am I that old, really?
Yeah, anyway,
extremely
young, yeah.
The thing is, they've found their way of playing the game. And you evolve a sort of verbal technique which suits it. Because you remember, it's all very well talking without hesitation, repetition, deviation, but it is a comedy show. You want to have... I say that the essence of its success is having fun. And the more fun you can have within the concept of the game, the more entertaining it becomes. So if they slip up and they're challenged, there's always a nice reaction.
And Paul's technique seems to be quite willfully contrary. Is that fair enough?
Paul has a great feel for the game. He says how he used to listen to it in his bedsit when he was a youngster in Streatham and used to record it. And it was his favourite show. And now, it's very flattering. He said, it is my favourite job. And well, I don't know if this is his favourite job, but the point is that it's very flattering that someone as successful as him can accept radio fees, which are not very big, you know. And so a lot of them come on, like, and Graham Norton, darling Graham, who loves doing it. He does at least two every series we do. He doesn't come out to improve his lifestyle. He comes on because he enjoys the atmosphere and enjoys the comradeship. But Paul's got a wonderful technique where he's able to go into the realms of the surreal, which is quite bizarre. And actually, when you analyze it, anybody could challenge him for deviation at any moment on that. But they don't, because they're sporting. They realize the fun we have is more important than getting the points. We did have one person who came on, brilliant brain, a real intellectual, a great broadcaster. I don't want to embarrass him by giving his name, but he played it deadly seriously. And he was very, very good. But it was deadly serious and was no fun. And so it didn't help the show very much.
And you do occasionally get new people. I think it was David Tennant, I heard, who seemed to have an extraordinary ability.
David Tennant was amazing, because he's not a natural ad libber and comedy performer. But he came on the first time he did. He went almost for the minute, I think. It's amazing.
Extraordinary. Mm. Do you think it's a certain sort of mind that can do it, or just a strange ability?
That's a very good question. I hadn't thought about that. Probably a combination of both is the answer.
And from your point of view, we're now less than an hour and a half away from the show. What sort of preparation do you do for it?
I can't do any preparation, other than make sure I remember their names. I mean, there's no preparation. This is what I'm so proud of. It is a genuinely improvised ad-lib show. When we first started, you couldn't edit. And nowadays, nearly every programme is heavily edited. Mm. The producers seem to keep going to think they might get something a bit better or something. But ours, they can't be. All they can do is trim down on the ad-libbing and the fun in between the rounds. And so, really, you know, we record maybe 35 or maybe 40 minutes for a show, and she just trims down some of the extraneous chat. Sometimes it's just taking up very good laughs.
Right.
But it's... And so I think we can say that it's one of probably only genuinely unedited, not unedited, spontaneous shows that it exists. Because producers go into the recording studio, whether it's television or radio, on the basis that, oh, we always can edit if things go wrong, or something we don't like so much, it seems to me.
And do you think there was a golden age 40 or 50 years ago within the creators of this show? So Justin is 51 years old. I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue is almost 50 years old. Was there a golden era, would you say, in terms of creators of these shows?
Yes, there was a time when, earlier on when we were first started, and they had another two or three shows on there. It was My Word and My Music.
Yeah.
Excellent shows, but they were of their time. First of all, they were all male. Secondly, they seemed to reflect something about the culture of the time. And they died a natural death. Now, if Just a Minute had remained as it started, being much more of a cultural show and people talking seriously and challenges becoming secondary. I mean, Clement Freud, who was in it from the start, Clement wanted to keep it that way. And in fact, towards the end, it became very aggressive towards me. He didn't get it was an undertone, because he blamed me for moving the show forward, improvising and changing and subtly adjusting. And I maintain if we had remained as we had when we started, with four intelligent people showing off their skill and talent and erudition by talking, and the challenges becoming secondary, it would have died a natural death, like My Word and My Music and others.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of the fact that being part of a... being in tune with it so much and loving it so much, in some way, all the little tweaks one's done to improve it, you know, bring in bonus points and benefit of the doubt and all kinds of subtle things, and also making sure it is multisexual, that's...
Well, that...
bad phrase. That it is... what is the phrase?
Cultural, multicultural, or multiracial, or whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Equal and multigender.
Multigender, right, yeah. Many, many more of those genders emerging.
With the oldie, one thinks of it as older men, but you have a lot of older women, don't you?
We do. It is majority male, but only 60-40.
Is that because it stemmed originally from... You had Private Eye...
Richard Ingram's,
yes,
yeah.
And he was on Private Eye, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Exactly, he was the editor there for 30 years, mm-hmm. yeah. It might be that, as I say, it's only marginally mm-hmm. towards men. We have a lot of women columnists and women writers, mm-hmm. just like Just a Minute, we've evolved.
Yes, because I remember when it started, the oldie, I mean, there's an old audience for it, but will it catch on? But it's amazing. I mean, Richard was very inventive and had that instinct for what might take off, but it did take off. It was wonderful.
It did. Well, it's doing, I would say this, wouldn't I, but it's doing extremely yes, well. It's doing yes. better than ever.
Mm.
And to go back to people being aggressive to you, Kenneth Williams was extremely good on the show, but was his aggression was to be amusing, was it? Or to
oh,
be
gosh,
competitive?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Kenneth said, people would say, how do you handle Kenneth? And I said, well, he was easy. I knew him very well. We were in rep together. People don't realise that with Kenneth, he had aspirations, actually, to be taken seriously as an actor. And he was a very good straight actor. He won the award when I saw him as the Dauphin in Bernard Shaw's St. Joan, the Arts Theatre. And he was asked to come and do some character voices in Hancock's Half Hour. And he wasn't madly keen about it, but he did it. But you see, Kenneth is such a clever performer that the voices he put on to create the characters were so iconic that they actually hoisted him on his own petard.
Yes.
And he finished up being identified with these amazing, strange character voices. And he became known for them in the Carry On films and
yep.
others. And he never, if you read his diaries, he never respected that sort of work. And in fact, for that reason, he loved doing Just a Minute, because he was self-educated. I mean, he came from quite a humble, very humble background.
Yep.
And he had an opportunity to show off his knowledge and erudition, as well as have fun. And sometimes Kenneth, Ian Messiter, who created the game and used to sit there with a stopwatch for many early years, he used to put in a subject, which, especially for Kenneth, because so Kenneth would have a chance to show off. So it might have been something like Aphrodite, and Kenneth would preen himself, and he always played to the audience, you see. He'd start, and within a couple of minutes he'd pause and was challenged. And then he'd go into an absolute strop, because he knew instinctively he'd be chosen for him. He said, you must have been, you're fools to yourselves. I was going to tell you, you don't know about Aphrodite. And he'd go off like that, and the audience loved it. But it was actually him being very upset and very frustrated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so one had to, even if possible, twist a challenge to get him back in again. But you see, knowing Kenneth well, and he knew that I knew him well, he could be outrageous and over the top, and I could handle that. But Clement was sort of subtle. If he did, because he would like to undermine it, because he did actually present the way the show was moving. I mean, he's a brilliant brain, and he was very, very good in Just a Minute. But you see, that it was the fun was important, like Derek Nimmer at that field. And Peter Jones was incredibly witty. And one of the things that always amused me is the fact that they've always made jokes about my age.
Yes, I was going to ask.
To begin with, the four other players were of a similar age to me. And yet, is it something about the fact that I worked as a straight man, as I did with Arthur Haynes and Benny Hill, that one knows how to be a foil to comedy timing, or what? But I used to play up to it, and we'd get nice laughs out of it. But it seemed to be an area which was ripe for humorous response. And Derek Nimmer was outrageous what he said. Of course, Paul does it now.
He does a lot, yeah.
Paul does it now in such a way that you know there's no hidden agenda in it. And there's affection in it. And of course, the thing is, you respond in the same vein, and they get a big laugh. It's great.
And you don't mind?
Of course not. If something's witty and funny, you laugh. And if you've got a sense of humour, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. And that is the whole essence of a sense of humour, isn't it?
Of course, yes.
And, I didn't think at the time it was very funny, but it got a big laugh. I have to say, because it came up naturally in the show, I said, Paul, all I can say is that in my brain, I'm probably many years younger than my age. But in my legs, I certainly feel my age. And he said, well, it's a good thing it isn't the other way around, isn't it? Otherwise you could go on a good long walk and not know where the hell you were.
Very quick, isn't it?
Very witty, very quick. And like all humour, there's a lot of logic in humour. And Paul has it in spades. He's a great performer.
And if you don't mind me saying on the age front, astonishingly, because you look about 12, you turned 95 last month.
That's right, yes.
And what is your secret? Good genes, is it?
I think you've got to be grateful for your genes, to some extent. Both my parents lived to their 80s. But also I'm a great believer in using your brain. And because I think the more you use your brain and treat it as a muscle, it helps to keep you younger. And I think actually medical science has proved that. Because, you know, you think of people who had a sedentary job maybe, and at the age of 65 or 70 they retire from it, and they just potter about the garden or something, they fade away in about 10 years' time. But I've had to keep using, well, I wanted to, and I'm sure that's part of it. And also, as we're talking about just a minute, it's the biggest work of concentration I have. I mean, I have no backup, no thing, and I have to listen to every word so that if somebody after, that was me talking for 50 seconds, challenges his repetition, I have to know immediately so as to keep the show going where they did repeat it. So I'm concentrating to an intense degree to make sure that I can make the right decision rapidly, keep the fun going, keep it up. And so I say, well, I have to use my brain so positively and creatively in just a minute that I'm very lucky I have a job which I love doing, and it probably helps to keep me younger.
I'm very grateful to the wonderful Nicholas Parsons for taking part in the Oldie podcast.